So last week we were talking about integration. So broadly speaking, the journey begins with cultivating a fit mind. And the advantages of having a fit mind is that we'll be calmer, we'll be more focused, we'll be friendlier, we'll be more uplifted. Our experience will start to feel smoother. We'll have more of a sense of being in flow. So there are a lot of advantages to having a fit mind. And a genuine fit mind, a genuinely fit mind, includes a sense of this positive dissatisfaction. Last week, so we're all here. We're all here for different reasons. Sometimes people come here because they're unhappy, something's not gone well in their life, or we have a sense of dissatisfaction with life. But sometimes we can be, actually things can be fine, there can be nothing wrong with our lives, but we still have this sense of there must be something more. And last week, Maitre Bandhu referred to the story of the Buddha. And so the myth has it that the Buddha was born to a wealthy family and he left the palace. And Maitre Bandhu was suggesting that we might use the palace as a metaphor for our bodies, our sense of self. So we're very attached to our sense of self. And in the myth of the Buddha, the father doesn't want the Buddha to leave the palace. So he surrounds him with young people with pleasure. And that's what we do. We surround ourselves with, you know, we go looking for pleasure. We don't see that we're going to get old. And one of the things that the Buddha did was he left the palace and he had these four sights. So the four sights were sickness, old age and death, and then the holy man. And we can do that. We have glimpses of that. And in a sense, I'm sure all of us here have had some sense of something. I know for myself, I think, well, it's hard. The other thing Maitre Bandhu was saying is that we're going to die. We're all going to die, but we forget that, or we don't quite believe it. On one level, we know it, but we don't really believe that it's gonna happen to us until something happens. So for myself, I came along to the Buddha Center for quite a while. I came along, and I was very much coming along just to meditate. I wasn't in any way interested in Buddhism. It just happened to be here's where they taught meditation. And then my mum got ill, and she subsequently died. And I think that's when I had the realization that that death was, it actually was real. It didn't just happen to other people. You know, it happened to people that I knew and loved as well. And one day it's going to happen to me. And I wish I could remember that. I don't. I forget that. So that's one of the reasons we need to cultivate a fit mind, is because we forget the fact that we're going to die. If we truly lived knowing that, we'd live a life with full attention. we'd really cultivate mindfulness. So Maitre Bandhu uses this metaphor of a fit mind, and the reason he chose the metaphor was because We're all very used to the metaphor of a fit body. Like, we know that in order to have a fit body, we can't just decide, oh, I'd like a fit body. We actually have to go out and do things. You know, we have to do things regularly. We have to, we've got to do things every day. So in order to have a fit body, we've got to exercise every day, we've got to eat well, and in time, we'll get a fit body. And it's very much the same for a fit mind. We can't just decide we want a fit mind, and that's it. We've got one. We've got to do things to actively cultivate having a fit mind. And the way we cultivate a fit mind is through integration. So sometimes it's kind of easier to describe integration sometimes through what it's like not to be integrated. I'm sure we're all familiar with this feeling of having lots of different selves in a way. Like, I don't know, the thing that often comes up for me is I'll decide I want to go for a run in the morning, and then come the next morning, somebody else is in charge and a run's a whole lot less appealing. So a while ago I saw this film called Inside Out. I don't know if any of you have seen it, but it's a great film. It's an animation of this 11-year-old girl, and it's all the emotions that are inside her head. There's joy and sadness and anger. And I think, being disintegrated can feel a bit like there are all these different selves going on in our heads, and they've all got a different agenda. And trying to integrate them all, to get them all on working together, is what, it's sort of what we're trying to do. So the hallmarks of integration are we feel collected rather than dissipated. We feel unified rather than fragmented. And I was reading through the first week of the book, as I'm sure you all have, and on page 72 and 73, there's a whole list of the sort of hallmarks of integration and disintegration. And it's really, it's really interesting to read through, actually, and see what we recognise and what resonates. Yeah, so when we're integrated, we take responsibility for our lives. And the thing that draws us away from being integrated is it's our automatic chatter, the mental proliferation, the stories we tell ourselves. A little while ago, somebody referred to it as surplus thinking. It's all this unnecessary thought going on. Yeah, and it's not that thought itself is the problem. It's just that a lot of the time we're really unaware of our thinking, and it doesn't serve any particular purpose. And when I was reading the book, Maitra Bandi uses this example of like we're eating a meal, and we fully intend to like have this meal and enjoy it, and we're carrying on an argument or a conversation in our head. And when I read that, I was reminded of having this massage once. Now, I work at the charity shop for the Buddhist Centre, and we don't actually get paid a salary or whatever. We work on what they call support. So you get your living expenses paid and your basic needs met. But you don't get very much money. But we do get some spending money. So anyway, I'd saved up this bit of spending money to have a massage. And off I went. And about, honestly, almost as the massage was coming to an end, I realised that I'd hardly experienced it at all. I was like somewhere else, completely. So it's that sort of thing. It's that. And I wasn't even thinking. I couldn't even have told you what I'd been thinking about. So it's something about realising how this mental chatter takes us away from our experience. It takes us away from fully experiencing life. Yeah, so it's not our fault. Everybody does it. And the Buddhist word for it is prapancha. So we're trying to become aware of the stories we tell ourselves, of our habitual ways of thinking, our habitual interpretation of events. And it can be quite subtle, actually. How we think so much affects how we act with people. I had this example in the shop I work in. We hadn't been open that long, and in one day, these two women came in, and one of the women that came in was an absolute delight. She was really lovely, she liked the shop, we had a great chat. We left, and I had a really warm sense about her. I really liked her. And then the same day, another woman came in, and she was quite grumpy. She complained. She didn't like the shop. She complained about the prices. We had a slightly tense interaction, and off she went. And then, I don't know, about 2 weeks later, the nice woman came into the shop. And I was, delighted to see her. I was like, oh, hello, how are you? Really lovely to see you. And she was like slightly taken aback. But anyway, then she was quite friendly. And it was sort of halfway through the interaction, I realised I got the wrong woman. Like, it was the difficult woman. And the thing is, because I'd genuinely got it wrong, my response was really genuine. And we did go on to have a really lovely interaction. And it was only then that I noticed that if I had known she was the wrong woman, I would have gone on a habitual response to somebody I find a bit tricky, which might have been a little bit reserved, a bit distant. So I was just thinking of that. So the idea, when we notice these things, is not to criticise ourselves, but more to cultivate a sort of benevolent, amused response to our inner chatter, to the stories we tell ourselves. So mindfulness is the first inner practice of integration. It's really noticing these stories we tell ourselves. It's noticing our habitual patterns, the habitual way we are. And so that's the inner practice. And then simplifying our lives is the external practice. So last week, Maitri Bando asked us to do three things, which on closer examination turned out to be four things. Five things. And so those were things to try, and so the body really affects the mind. So mindfulness is the internal, and then the externals we could do were the 3-minute breathing space. We could simplify our lives by reducing input. He suggested maybe we have a mindful meal. He was talking about perhaps doing some exercise. In a minute, I think we're going to get back into our groups and just see how we got on with that. But just before we do, I think what I'd really like to encourage you to do, Maitri Bando is going to give you a list of things to do again at the end of his session, but really to read the book. There's so much more in there than we could say, and you'll get so much out of this course if you read the book. So, of all the things we do, if we could really make reading the book one of them.